This next speaker is someone who's been at our conferences for a very long time, and I'll briefly explain to you why I feel it's so important that you have this tool to your tool belt of resources as a handwriting expert, as a psychologist, as a counselor, as a hypnotherapist, as a doctor, as a human, essentially. I've been doing handwriting analysis since I was 14 years old, and recently found out that Jan's been doing it since she was 17, which makes us only 3 years apart in age.
You're older, of course.
Yes, but not wiser. I like to say, I'm not old, but I'm the very, very immature.
We've got to say birthday.
Yes, yes.
Immaturity is a very good thing. In the right context. Is it not? Oh, I think that's just great.
Mega stingers.
Especially when I'm writing it out.
She wants to marry me. Can you tell this? Okay. Let me introduce our speaker and turn the stage over, okay? Pick on me later. I'll be back on stage, I promise. The tool that I learned when I was 14 was handwriting analysis. I learned that. I started to learn hypnosis with Dr. Ray Walker, who's the author of one of the certification books that we teach. My father has been doing hypnosis and handwriting. And so I had all these great tools, and my life changed considerably using those tools. When I began to learn a skill called neurolinguistic programming, which is not just a skill, it's a whole science, it went to a different level. My ability to analyze handwriting went to a different level, because then I understood human beings at a different level. And my ability to teach. Is there any teachers in the room or public speakers? The reason Handwriting University and the reason that these seminars are by far and away the best in the world, China, India, Australia, we just talked about Turkey, is because there's a process behind teaching which is different than every other process that a handwriting expert knows, only because I mastered the skill of NLP. So just like the advanced traits that we learned, if you guys go, okay, I get it. Wow, that doesn't seem that hard. Well, the reason is I understand something called process of how the brain works. So I use it in my relationships, use it as rapport, use it in sales. I use it every day in my life for personal transformation. So today's speaker is not only one of a good friend, but also one of the top NLP trainers in the world. And she also happens to be from Texas, so it wasn't a long drive for you to participate in this conference. So we do appreciate that. Her name is Jan Marszalek, and I'll let her tell you more about herself, but you're in for a huge treat. And what's even more about using this as a skill to make money and to help you with your business, if you really pay attention, you might have your life transformed in magical ways. Jan Marszalek.
To you, and it is a good afternoon, is it not?
Yes.
Or it has the potential of being so, which all comes from your thinking, and your thinking drives your behavior. When I met Bart called me, I guess about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I don't remember how many years I've been doing the handwriting circuit with him. He called me several years ago, and he said, I'm coming to Dallas, and I'd like you to do the NLP portion. And I said, no, thank you. And he goes, these are all the reasons that it would be really good for you. Well, I'm really not interested. I'm kind of sort of retired. I have a lot of things going on. I don't want to do that. I don't do those anymore. And we talked and we talked and we talked. And then he said, how's your son? You know my son? He says, yeah. So I dialed my phone and I called and I said, Eric, you know Bart Baggett? And he goes, yes. How well do you know Bart? Oh, I know him really well. He's a friend of mine. He's wanting me to do his seminar, the Handwriting University, and he says, oh, you got to do that, Mom. And here we are today. I know where my good instructions come from. Because I trained that young man, did I not?
Yes.
And so, therefore, I know exactly how he operates and how well he operates. I started studying handwriting when I was 17 because, okay, I mean, how many of you have that as your original reason? Okay, because, at least that's the illusion. And then you continue your study and you go, oh my goodness, I've been guided and directed and isn't this wonderful? And, you know, let me praise my husband or my friend or God or wherever that praise is going to go because this was a good thing for me. How many of you are there? This was a good thing for you to do for yourself. You are leaders in consciousness today. You're the forerunners. 20 years from now, when this becomes midstream, morphogenic learning, the struggles that you go through, they will not have to go through the same struggles. It will become much easier for those who have yet to follow us. So we are leaders. When I was 25 years ago and I started teaching NLP, and I really didn't know a lot about NLP when I started learning, it was just another one of those handy tools, useful, could teach me how to get to where I thought I was going faster, streamlined, more efficient, hopefully more prosperous, in health, wealth, behaviors, flexibility. And so I studied with a fellow by the name of Jay Larson. He came in to study NLP. I had a lot of the New Age instructors back 25 years ago come study with me. God, I felt important. Until about 2 years went by and they came to me and said, well, we've taught you as much as we thought you needed to learn. And I thought, well, how kind of them. And they were very generous in their teachings. And then when I was speaking with Bart, I said, well, do you remember Jay Larson? He goes, oh, yeah, the master. Jay Larson went all over the world with his handwriting. He passed away about 5 years after I met him, and I waited. Who was going to replace it? And then Bart showed up. I believe Bart will go down in history as the greatest handwriting analyst of our times. And because he's good, that helps. And more important than that, the numbers of people that he has introduced to a black and white system, it's mechanics, isn't it? With a flair for art. And you're as good as your mechanics and your creativity, your artistic flair. Each one of you will be just a shade different. And the right people will find you. Now, I've been studying the brain and the mind for about 40 years. That's a long time. So I have a lot of information. And when I knew I was coming out here to spend an hour with you, I looked and I said, well, how can I make that hour really valuable and useful for them? Because I know Bart and I know his staff. How many of you are just a little bit of overload? So I thought you might like to take a nap so that I could program your right brain so that you could learn deeper what you already know and might need to be reminded of later on. They say, you know, they, it's one of those, the experts, the universal they. Okay, they say that you walk away with 20% from any seminar. Well, I don't want to believe in that. That's not a real useful belief system, is it? Okay? How many of you are fully present in your chair? You can feel your seat, the back, okay? Then why would you want to get anything less than 100%? So what constitutes your ability to get 100% of the information and to have it be available to you as you need it? Do you ever have a moment of inspiration? Where did that inspiration come from? Didn't that come from your past and all the ways that you had framed your mind, and all of a sudden you got peaceful enough and quiet enough and you were totally distracted by something else, and all of a sudden, boom. On the way here today, I have a lady that works with me named Dr. Cheryl Oden. She's been having, how many of you have problems? Okay, so I didn't want to, you know, just her. Okay, so we've been working on this problem for a while, and on the way here, a solution dropped in my brain. You know, kind of, ooh, where did it drop from? Well, it dropped from my unconscious mind into my conscious mind. And it'll probably save her $10,000 by the time I'm done giving it to her. So on the way here, I want you all to know that the energy frame that you were encircled by was a savings of $10,000. Write that down. You've saved $10,000. Okay? Because if you write it down, it makes it more true, does it not? So it's a possibility. It's an option. Now, this is an advanced handwriting course. You know what that says? You're better than you think you are. or you will become so in the days and the weeks and the months upcoming. How you discover more about yourself and others. How many of you have discovered a few things in your handwriting this weekend that you're going, okay, I need to change that? How many of you found too many? Okay. And then it's kind of like, well, where do you start? And so I'd like you to take a moment to think about where you might start. And while your unconscious mind is thinking about that, I'd like to talk to your conscious mind. And I'd like to give you some information that is about the right brain and some of the things that they've discovered. Did you know that in the 5 minutes before you go to sleep at night, you know, that time frame where you're in and out of sleep, you're not quite asleep, but you're not awake either. For worriers, it's their best time to worry. Nobody's bothering them. Did you know that what you think about during that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes before you go to sleep is what you are programming your unconscious mind to go get for you? See, what happens is you go to sleep and you go to a deep brain frequency called delta, and that's where you manifest things. And so what you think about before you go to sleep is what your unconscious mind, which, by the way, has no judgment, no discernment. Okay, that's all a conscious process. It just does what it's told to do. The delta frequency is about somewhere around 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, in its behavior and understanding. And then you go to sleep, and that part of you that is so young and so simple, they call it the gut brain, goes to work. And then you float up to the right brain, alpha. You have a dream. Everybody dreams. Not everybody remembers their dreams, but everybody dreams. And in that alpha state, you work out the psychological, emotional stuff that's in your way, good or bad, to get you what you thought about before you went to sleep. Whether it was good or bad is irrelevant. Oh, I'm really worried that my daughter's going to, you know, get in a car accident. Click. Okay. Now that's what your unconscious mind thinks that you want. And then that's the process you go through all night long. Now, how many of you, based on that little bit of information, will think differently before you go to sleep at night? Okay? Now, for the worriers, worrying isn't a bad thing. It's just a behavior. Write it down. If you're going to worry about things, you know, write it down on a piece of paper before you go to sleep. If you've got big chapters, write down big titles, but if you've got subchapters, take a few minutes to worry it. And then put that away. And now think about, if I had all the time and all the money that I wanted, that's different than needing, isn't it? What would I be giving back to planet Earth for those gifts? What would bring me joy? What would bring me pleasure? Your leaders, we're moving into a more joyful, pleasurable planet or a warlike planet. If that's an either or, which would you choose? It's a silly question, isn't it? I mean, we all want peace. What if you were to have peaceful thoughts before you went to sleep? What if you were to have thoughts about what you wanted for your children that was good and positive and useful? How many of you have goals that you actually sit down and you write and you plan? What if you read those just before you went to sleep? What if you said to your unconscious mind, look, I know I'm kind of a worrier and I have all these negative thoughts from time to time, and, you know, just, we're going to ignore all of that right now, and I just want you to think about this. See, what's embarrassing about what I do is it's sinfully easy to learn. People make it look complex because it's new information. and it must find its way in the unconscious mind so that it makes sense to the unconscious mind as well as to the conscious mind. And that takes a bit of time. And the reason it takes a bit of time is because your physical body must grow up into the new learning. For instance, those of you who have been raised in a Judeo-Christian background, which pretty much encompasses probably most of who is in the room, has learned a behavior called guilt. If you have children or parents, you're covered. Well, guilt specifically affects the stomach lining. That's the organ connected to the emotional pattern of guilt. See, at NLP Learning Systems, we teach about the physical body, the emotional body, and the mental body, because they're not the same. They all interact together quite well. With or without your conscious awareness, we don't think about raising our hand, we don't think about walking forward until we lose some of those abilities. Yet, they're all in communication all the time. One of the things that NLP is about is being able to understand your own communication. That's useful. So I want to take you on a journey this afternoon into your right brain. They, the brain experts, have put EEGs on faith healers and channelers and meditators and successful creative business people. And I'm so delighted that they've chosen to study those people, as well as the ones that we find more entertaining, like faith healers, psychic surgeons, channelers. What about the business success? Bill Gates, who's just gone into philanthropy. You know, what happens in their brains when they think? And what they're discovering now is it all takes place, the creative side of it, in the right brain. They can measure it now. They couldn't do that 25 years ago. It's amazing what we can do. They're beginning to put together the connections that if you think this way, you'll change your favorite family genetic negative diseased pattern. Time magazine had an article on the front page of the magazine that said, NLP, giving us choice about who we're choosing to be, consciously and unconsciously, because you're in charge of your health. Oh, well, you know, my grandmother had this, my mother had this, my sister had this, my aunt had this. Well, let them keep it. Sometimes it pays to be selfish. Say, no, I don't want any of that. So you're in charge of all of that. And now you can recognize it in your handwriting, and you can recognize it in others. And that's one part of the game, is recognition of something that wants or needs to be changed. Now, how are you going to go through the change process? And if you can do that through the right brain with them, that's why I find hypnosis so valuable. Changing your speech. Talking to the different parts that we all have. So that we're not just changing. You ever had a conflict? You ever had an argument with yourself? Did you ever have a fight? Okay, now here's my question. Who wins? Okay? And it matters who wins, doesn't it? It must make sense to you consciously, or you're not going to change. So I need to frame some things so that you understand consciously the direction that we're going to be headed in. I want you to think about something that you'd like to have be changed as a result of this seminar. Now, I could suggest to you to pick the very best one, but those of you who are perfectionists would get stuck right there. So I find it much more useful if you just choose the one that your unconscious mind gives you. See, I had an experience. When I was 10 years old, I drowned in a pool. Like, really drowned. I died. They brought me back. Either that or I'm a great figment of my imagination. I'm not sure. But yeah. And then years later, I had this experience where I couldn't ask for money from a man, $25 that I had loaned to him, and I thought that was strange. Because I have no difficulty asking for money. Because money is energy. And if you give away energy freely, then it'll come back to you. So if you share money freely, it will come back to you. My son learned that at a very early age. He would leave an extra 50-cent tip for the waitress. He would expect to find $5 on the way out of the restaurant. He did it repeatedly. It became a habit. Isn't that a nice habit to have? It is your unconscious mind. The habits that you have are those that were created by people who love you, who may not have known what we know today. So I had this job. This man borrowed $25 from me. And I went, he won't give it back. And I went into his office to ask him for the money. And I said, Harry, how's the weather? That's not what I meant to say. Where'd that come from? Okay. Are you doing some house remodeling? I don't want to talk about his house remodeling. I want to talk about my money. Just $25. 20 minutes later, he says, did you want something in particular? Yes, tell him about the money. No, thank you. I'm leaving now. Do you ever have those experiences? Okay, so I walk back to my office and I go, what are you doing? You were supposed to get the money. Where's the $25? Well, my brain goes, duh. And I don't understand what it's communicating to me. So I'd go out with my NLP trainer. We worked a couple times a week during those days. This is a long time before I knew nothing about, you know, NLP. And I was sharing with him this story, and he says, well, let's do a reframe on that. What's a reframe? Okay. He goes, well, I'm just going to talk to you. And you're going to close your eyes. Well, okay, that sounds safe. I can always open him if I don't like what he's saying. And he goes through this mumble-jumble stuff, talking to my conscious mind and my unconscious mind, and I'm listening to everything he's saying. And then he talks to these parts and asks about those parts and says my creative part and this and that. And I go, okay, fine. And it felt safe. Now, that was on a Friday night. Saturday morning, I got up, and in my backyard, I have a pool of water. And my children growing up always knew that I wouldn't go in the pool because the bleach, the chlorine would bleach my tan. Vanity has its place. But really, the real reason that I wouldn't go in the pool is because I drowned. That sets up a condition in the body goes not safe. That is a useful not safe. So here I am on Saturday morning, and I'm out going to read my book by the pool because I really was into the sun back in those days. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice calling me, Jan. Who's over the fence? Go out the gate. There's nobody there. Come back. Okay, now I'm hearing things. Is this going on because of the NLP? I'm not sure. I hear my voice called again, Jan. 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 And I'm looking all over. And then I go, it's the pool. Okay, I don't know very much about this NLP stuff, but now we's in trouble here. And I'm like, okay, pool. Didn't know if it was Mr. or Mrs., so I thought I'd just go straight to first names. Pool, what you be wanting there? And the pool says, come in. And all these movies flash in my head. You know the scary ones?
Jaws.
Okay? Because instantly, as soon as you're getting ready to go through a paradigm shift, don't you get scared?
Yes.
Isn't that a silly thing to do? Now, one of the nice things that you want to know is that is the step before success. How many of us get stopped right there? I need to understand this fear. Oh, screw it. Who cares anyway? Why do you want to understand that? Anytime you understand something, you just want to create more of it. Understand success and study that, and the fear will take care of itself. Build courage and bravery, because incredibly successful people are still scared. They just have a lot of courage and bravery, because we live in a world of duality, and you want to have both sides. It's useful from time to time being afraid. Like when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. It's time to believe in that place, don't you think? So it's useful. So this pool is calling me. And I put my toe in. And the pool goes, "That's right." Okay, I am having a dialogue with a body of water. So I got in the pool, cautiously. I walked down the steps. Now, the pool is only 5 feet at its deepest end. Well, excuse me, I'm only 4 feet and 3 quarters. So, you know, 11 3/4. So I'm, doesn't matter, 5 feet, pretty deep. 8 hours later, I came out of the pool. I did the backstroke. I did the side stroke. I did the dog paddle. I did the dead man's float. I wish they'd call it something else. I floated on my back. I floated on my stomach. I went down and took the drain off, because that's what I always yelled at my kids not to do. So they constantly did it. I wanted to know what that was all about. And now I've got the drain and I got to put it back. I always told them to. So I went back down. The water got out of my way. It lifted me down there. And when I needed a breath of air, it lifted me up. It was a most profound experience. On Sunday, Saturday night, my family came home. They were gone all day. And I said, "I swam all day." Now, here's the next level of your learning. Mm-hmm. Do you all have family back home somewhere? Friends? Co-workers? Enemies? You should have your share. Why should you be left out? Because you've changed today and will continue to do so, so are they. And they may not be having the opportunity to focus on the positive side of change. Have compassion for them. They're still changing because you are. And you're part of the ecosystem. And you'll go back different. And you may get some resistance in the beginning. Have compassion. Stay with them. Pace their environment. So my family came out and I said, "I swam all day. I did this, I did that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." They didn't believe me. Isn't it terrible when your own family? I'm your mother. Mothers don't lie. Well, okay. They didn't believe me. On Sunday, they said, "Do it again." Now, did you ever succeed at something and then when you're back to do it again, you go, Okay. Remember your last success. So your brain knows what you want it to do. If you can't think about what to think about before you go to sleep at night, remember your successes. Superwoman, Superman. So that your brain knows what direction you want to go in. It's a bad time to whine and complain. It's just a bad time to do that. So if one must want to do that, write it down. At least then you're not so damaged by speaking it. The power's in the spoken word. When you speak language, you're running everybody else's computer, because our language is the software that programs everybody else's computer, especially your own. A friend of mine used to say, "My job gives me a pain in the..." We'll just call it the behind. Use your imagination, not too much. "My boss gives me a pain in the..." My wife give me a pain in thee? And through time, his unconscious mind cooperated with him and gave him hemorrhoids. Let's make it real. Okay, I apologize. Your language doesn't care. It's just there to be utilized. Yours and everybody else's. Graduates of NLP say, well, you know, what about the ethics? Well, who do I get to change? Anybody that listens to you. You're going to change them anyway. Be focused in your language. Be conscious about what you're putting out there, because you're the one in the center of all of it. Your unconscious mind listens to you all the time. So on Monday morning, I went into the office. I did jump in the pool. That was the big fear, was jumping in and going in under my head and, you know, water up your nose and all that other stuff. Well, I did jump in and managed to keep the water from, you know, going up my nose and all these other things. And my family was like, way cool, Mom. You know, all of a sudden, after never swimming, here I am a swimmer. Monday morning, I go into the office. I walk into his office. I got my money. And he looked just like the lifeguard when I was 10 years old who did not jump in to save me. My brother saved me and pulled me out of the water. He found me on the bottom of the pool. Last thing I remembered was the lifeguard laughing at me as I was going down. Was he laughing at me? Probably not. He probably didn't even see me. We create our own reality. I made that up in my unconscious mind. And my unconscious mind remembered that. And why would my unconscious mind give me permission to ask for something from somebody who tried to kill me? Okay, do you all get how convoluted this is? So those of you who need to make sense out of this, would you just set that aside? Even though it does make sense. So there are parts of you that are in your own way. And we're going to ask to work with those parts today so that they can cooperate with you consciously so we can redirect and re-guide. Now, I have some things that I need to cover. Let's see. Anybody in here has never done a closed eye process before? A couple of you? Here's how it works. You close your eyes, I continue talking. Okay? It's real hard. Okay, and then I would recommend that while you're there, you get a comfortable position. If you're real, you know, sensitive about your wallets and your purses, can you just put them under your chair and make sure that nobody? We've got somebody going along to take all their purses during this exercise. Fear. We're just going to collect them up here, and then you can take somebody else's. Maybe they have more money or better credit cards. I have a friend of mine. How many of you know what a Black American Express card is? No, not enough of us. A Black American Express card is made out of titanium, and you can do anything with it. You can fly around the world on it. And this friend of mine, a student of mine, says he travels with his two Black American Express cards and three of my CDs. He goes, I wouldn't dream of going home without you. Okay? That's how powerful those CDs are in the back of the room, designed for your unconscious mind to get you what you want. That's a sales pitch, in case you missed that. Future place, replace yourself. Okay, here's, I'm going to put that in there, right, brain research, channeling mechanics. Okay. What we're going to do is mechanics. There's nothing magical about the brain. How magical was language before you could read it? There's nothing magical about the brain. It's all mechanics. Mechanics with an attitude. Which attitude do you have? Attitude of success? Attitude of failure? We're going to use attitude of success. So it's mechanics, it's art. When they did this research on right brain people, when they did this research on those channelers and the meditators, and I'm talking about people like the Dalai Lama, and people at that level have offered themselves as guinea pigs for humanity so that we can understand better what's going on in the right brain. There's two times in a 24-hour period where you will be at right brain. 5, 10, 15 minutes before you go to sleep at night. 5, 10, 15 minutes when you wake up in the morning before you open your eyes. Now, how many of you wake up and then instantly open your eyes? Quite a few of you. Yeah, it's pretty typical. Close them right again. Now, the key here is avoid closing them and lying back down. Close them and sit up with them closed. Because now that resets everything in your system. You only need 3 hours and 45 minutes in a 24-hour period in a prone position to reset everything. The reason we require so much more sleep is we'd be bored. There's just not that much good TV. So what you need is 3 hours and 45 minutes in a 24-hour period to reset the system. So let your system know, I'm awake now, my eyes are closed, I'm sitting up, and this is what I want for my day. And if you can't remember what you want, then keep a note next to your bed with big chunk information, success. And close your eyes, take a couple of deep breaths. You'll go right back there. The experts say doing that once a day is very good. Doing it twice a day is very good. Doing it three times a day is excellent. Did you want to be good, very good, or excellent? It really comes down to your choice. 5 minutes a day is good. 10 minutes a day is very good. 15 minutes a day is excellent. 15 minutes of inside right brain work, which is daydreaming, wool gathering, fantasy thinking. I mean, surely you all know how to do that, right? In addition to that, it's focused meditation, prayer, contemplation, mechanics, still going to the same place, right brain. As soon as you close your eyes, you start tuning out all left brain information, and your brain goes, time to go over here now. That's why you do closed eye processes, so that you can start blocking out left brain, which must have its own way, rather than the right brain, which is much more holistic and is where you have your inspiration. Highly successful people say they get answers without having all the information available. Mark Cuban is a good example. How does he get inspiration when he doesn't have enough information to know how to go forward? He sits and he fantasizes, he daydreams, he meditates, he thinks with his eyes closed. And it makes a big difference. So I would like to invite you to close your eyes and find for you a comfortable position. And I know, because it's Bart's seminar, that you've had a full seminar. And all of that information is in there. And it's all available to you. And the more relaxed you create your physical body to be, then the more available is that information. And everybody has their favorite place to store tension in the physical body. So start at the top of your head. In a moment, we're going to have some music in the background. Relax your head. Just pretend it's relaxed. It's a beginning. And are you one of those people that carries a little bit of tension in your neck or your shoulders? Well, just remind them to be relaxed. Relax now. I've learned everything I've needed to learn, and I'm just going to enjoy the next 15 or 20 minutes of being inside and being relaxed and peaceful. Relax your eyelids. Your eyelids are the easiest muscles in the body to relax. Allow that feeling of relaxation to flow slowly downward throughout your entire body, all the way down to your toes. Relax your chest, your arms, your hands. Relax your abdomen. It's a good feeling to be deeply relaxed. Remember the last time you were so wonderfully relaxed. Remembering a time when you were peaceful and relaxed reminds your body, do it again. Relax the organs inside your abdomen and your chest. You don't need to know what they are or where they are. They know. Relax your buttocks, your thighs, your knees, your calves. That's right. Now, I know you came to have a lot of learning this weekend. And it's a good thing to learn. And you can remember back to the very first time that you even heard about handwriting and what a mystery it was then. Now, I know there's a part of you that was probably a little overwhelmed at that moment in time, and as the information came flying at you faster and faster, and you tried to find places in your unconscious mind where you could store that learning, where you store all positive learnings. And it's a good thing to learn. And you learn in ways that you haven't even imagined yet, because each learning brings a new level of imagination. You've probably changed a belief system or two while you've been here this weekend. The beginnings of it. You could probably begin to believe that you could be more. You could serve more. You could make more money. It's your job, you know, because you're here. And you can hear me and listen to my voice. And you can hear you and all those voices going on inside your head. And we'll ask them to, shh, be quiet now. Enjoy the peace and the quiet of learning. While all that information in your unconscious mind organizes itself in a way that's useful for your future. Well, then we need to know what your future might be. So you came here with an idea of what you might like to change in the future. Do you want to see yourself a week out? Or a month? Or maybe even a whole year? To see how you've changed. The things that you've added into your repertoire. The people who have come to you for assistance. Looking back to now, you may or may not be aware of all those things that had to reorganize themselves for you. But you can see all those things reorganizing themselves for you. Now, staying about a year out, or a month, or a week, whichever feels most comfortable for you. Remember the basic and the advanced primary traits that you learned? Doesn't that seem to be so much simpler now? There's the gang alphabet and the spotting trauma. Look how much you learned. Look how you have grown. How did your unconscious mind know how to do all of that for you? Trait stacking. How many times did you get to use that last year? Remember that seminar way back in Dallas? Oh my goodness, I can't believe that was a year ago. My health has gotten better because I've changed my handwriting. As my health gets better, I have more energy to put towards the things that I love and enjoy. More service I can offer other people. And I receive back in direct proportion to what I declare as mine in money and behavior and flexibility for the service that I did. Whether I got paid directly from that person or indirectly matters not to my unconscious mind. It may indeed matter to me consciously, and that's a problem I'll work on consciously, My unconscious mind is just to bring me these things. I've learned to market my handwriting skills. There may have been a bump or two along the way, and I used those bumps for learning how I could be more and get better at my skills. As I got better at my skills, the people around me changed in positive, useful ways. I have become a document examiner, if this is important, for my task and my job on this planet at this time. I am discovering parts of myself that I didn't even know existed before. Look at these companies that I have supported and assisted in their hiring processes and screening. You might even become a marital broker, putting this person with that person. You may find yourself becoming things and behaviors that you hadn't even thought about a year ago. But as your imagination grows and expands, you'll be delightfully surprised by new behaviors occurring in your future world. Relax your body. Relax your mind. It's a wonderful feeling to be completely relaxed, a very healthy state of being. I've increased my learning in handwriting, in health avenues and disease. I am able to help and support many more people in ways that I had hoped for and dreamt for. I understand myself better, and I have an advanced understanding of the human condition as it is, and as I am supporting and helping it become the way we'd like it to be together, you and I. And I receive gifts and blessings, sometimes in the form of money, sometimes in forms that I hadn't yet even imagined or thought about. What a wonderful thing it is to have an unconscious mind that supports me and feeds me in so many delightful, creative ways. Now, coming back to now, and looking all the way back to Friday when you started this handwriting seminar, notice your body. Relax your body. In the relaxation of your organs and your muscles and the tissues, and is even causing the cells themselves to function in rhythmic, healthy ways. Come through the seminar Friday afternoon, Friday afternoon, Friday evening, Friday evening. And you went through sleep cycles on Friday night. You went through sleep cycles Friday night. And Saturday morning, so much more learning. So much more learning. Relax your body. Relax your mind. It's a wonderful feeling to learn in a relaxed, healthy state. Allowing this kind of learning to create my body to be healthier as I get older, stepping into the future. Saturday afternoon, I'm learning. I am enjoying my learning. It's a little bit of an overload, but I'm enjoying my learning. And then you had another Saturday night sleep cycle. And there were many learnings in that sleep cycle, and you may or may not be conscious of what those learnings might have been, or even been aware of how wonderfully organized your unconscious mind is doing for you, sorting that information out so that you can have what you want. And you woke up Sunday morning, and you came to class, and you learned more, and you continue to learn. And you had a good time learning, and your good times continue to happen in the future. Because you've learned to learn joyfully and happily. Now thank all of those parts of you for being willing to be present, and even those parts that drift off from time to time, just in the most elegant ways to enhance your learning and your skills. Now imagine as if you knew where your future was, and it's a bright future for you and those that you come in contact with. And walking forward, take one step into the future. And you've changed again in a new and better way for you and all those people that love you and that you love. Now coming back to now, being aware of your body, wiggling your fingers and your toes, making sure that you're all the way inside here. Allow your unconscious mind to give you an image of what it's going to be like in the future for you. It might be a picture of something, it might be a word, it might be somebody you're going to meet, and you'll know when you have that experience of seeing that out here in this world, how much more you learned than you thought you could. And coming back into the room and wiggling your fingers and your toes and your arms and your legs and all the way back, and when you're fully back into your body, feeling the way you might feel when you've slept the right amount of refreshing, revitalizing, relaxing sleep. You can open your eyes now, coming back in, noticing it might be a little brighter for you. It was just a nice, delightful little nap. Did you know that 15 minutes of doing that kind of thing is equal to, in terms of releasing lactic acids in the body and negative chemistry, stress enzymes, 15 minutes of doing that kind of sort of thing is equal to the first 3 hours of sleep? How many of you work and play in a stressful world? See, I like these universal questions. Okay, is everybody back? Okay. Well, that ought to round up a whole bunch of things for you. Some of you went real deep. Some of you were kind of popping in and out. Now, in coming here to DuBart Seminar, I started teaching NLP 25 years ago, and we teach several layers of NLP, and you can take as much or as little as you want. What I'd like to talk about for a moment is the level one in NLP, because I have an idea of where you people are going. And there's two sides of NLP. And one is the language and learning how to use your software as a tool, both for your own physiology and others. And so that's the first half of level one, is learning how to do that better. And the second half of level one, because the first half works, the second half is a number of change techniques. How would you like to dissolve your fears in 15 minutes? That's what's available. How would you like to install good feelings into your future instead of failures that have been in the past? That's what we teach. We know that the first half works, and people end up pushing them above their ceilings. They push their ceilings up. Well, if you don't change the emotional body, you'll fall back down. It's in your handwriting. And the second half of level one is the emotional body, so that you can change your emotional body quickly, efficiently, without drama. Drama's expensive. Look how many soap operas are on TV. Drama is expensive. NLP is about choosing to have your drama your way when you want to have it. Not when somebody else comes in and gives it to you. We have a policy at the center. Please schedule your emergencies. We prefer it that way. The course is repeatable free of charge as many times as you want to come get that course. because we want you to have it all. And we know that human nature says you may or may not, until you've been with the information for a while, do the change work at home. And so we like to give you repeat privileges so that you can come in with a group of like-minded people. And they don't need to hear the drama. We don't deal in content. We rarely know what you're working on. Isn't that wonderful? We don't need to build mountains out of molehills. How many of you all know something that you'd like to have be different? Then we don't need to. We just need to teach you how to change it. And so it's repeatable free of charge, so that as you go through your own change, etc. I stumbled on this book the other day. It's called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. Basically what they're saying is New Age people have a dark side. See, what a concept. The other thing they're saying is we continue to grow. My father is 86. He's just entered his nursing home days, according to him. And I went out to visit him. He got sick. He ended up in the hospital. He had a conflicting challenge with a black man. I did not know that my father was a racist bigot. Did not know that. And it sent him into a stroke and a heart attack. And while he was in the hospital, he said to me, "You need to fire that nurse." And I'm like, "Dad, it doesn't work that way. You see, they're all kind of, you know, falling into this frame of entitlement, because that's what he was running, entitlement." And I said, it's more useful if you get to please and thank you and gratitude and appreciation. He's 86. He's never had to do that. Well, now how much farther can that go? Then we put him into a nursing home, and my sister called me, and she goes, "I've never heard my father say things like this." And I said, "What's he saying?" "Oh, he's asking us how we can do more appreciation. How do I say thank you? How do I say I appreciate what you're doing?" And the nurses are all becoming much nicer. It's never too old to teach new tricks. And he's still alive because he's not done yet. And so he got to learn that one. And you know what he did? He said, tell your sister, you know, the one from Dallas. He never remembers our name. He had 9 children. He just knows what cities we live in. He says, "Tell her I said thank you." And isn't that a wonderful thing?
Wow. Yes.
So we all grow until the day we die. Now here's another one I want to read to you. This is said by Geraldo Rivera. It was in the newspaper 2 days ago. And it says, it's amazing how much brain power and heart power you liberate when you don't have to think twice before you answer a question about where you were last night. Now take that to a little bit bigger frame. Anytime you have guilt or shame or embarrassment or humiliation, what are you cutting off for you? And you'll have more brain power and heart power available to you if you'll simply be willing to let go of some of those patterns that aren't serving any of us in any way. I want to thank you for inviting me this afternoon. I always enjoy where I go and what I do. Can you tell? So, thank you very much. Make money. Be of service. And remember, when you get to heaven, the first question St. Peter's going to ask you is, did you have fun? And if you say no, you get another cycle down here on planet Earth. So lie congruently or have fun. Thank you.